unbelievable scene playing out. I can't even think of the best way to describe some of the images that are coming, unfortunately, from the areas around Southwest Florida. It's just unbelievable damage that's been done to Southwest Florida, from Fort Myers to Naples, the causeway to get to Sanibel Island. I'm watching video right now as they're above the scene, and there would be no way to get to Sanibel or Captiva Island right now because the causeway is completely obliterated. Naples has seen some phenomenal damage up toward the north and east from there as Ian continues its trek through Florida's peninsula into the central Florida area with historic flooding, Kissimmee, and through parts of Osceola County and Volusia County and through Orange County and in Daytona Beach and the city of Orlando as well, where Lake Eola, if you know the fountain that we're talking about, is nearly fully underwater right now. And now we continue focusing on the local impacts from Ian on 104.5 FM as we continue our live team coverage. Wind gusts that are increasing. Mayport seeing 63-mile-an-hour wind gusts, 49-mile-an-hour wind gusts now at NAS Jacksonville. And crews that are still out in the field to work to restore power as it goes out, wherever it is across Northeast Florida. The big concern now and over the last few hours has been St. Augustine, because we would be approaching and are now at high tide in the ancient city, and we have seen the water continue to rise. We just heard from emergency management a few minutes ago that the water is now likely higher and storm surge higher than what St. Augustine saw in 2016 during Hurricane Matthew. And if you were here and remember that, it was historic flooding into the historic district. Our friend and colleague at Cox Media Group, Bob DeBlois, who has been a partner of ours on WOKV for, almost 15 years now, Bob, lives in St. Augustine. And you told me a story just a moment ago by text message that is actually quite sad. It made me laugh initially, and then I thought about it, and I said, oh my goodness, that is sad. What is happening at King and Cordova, or right along Cordova Street?
There was one of our less smart neighbors had a jet ski on Cordova. They have put it away, so that is good. And I just saw another neighbor attempted to take his dog out on a kayak. The dog jumped out into the water. It's probably about 15 inches right on the corner of Riberia and Carrera. The dog was smart enough to run back to or swim back to his house, and they put the kayak away. Everyone should just stay inside.
Yeah, stay inside indeed. You're at Riberia right there, so a few blocks away from the Matanzas River. Are you hearing or seeing any reports of water rising there?
For the past hour, we have been seeing the water rise on Carrera pretty well, and it's flowing in from downtown towards Route 1, Ponce de Leon. I am on the same block as Flagler Memorial Presbyterian Church and Ancient City Baptist Church. So the water has been flowing pretty good all the way from downtown towards Route 1.
I mean, you're several blocks in from the Matanzas River and from Avenida Menendez, so that is a significant amount of water that is coming in. Over the last hour, what does it look like and how swiftly has it been rising?
It's been steady. The last half an hour, the rain has really picked up and it's pretty windy. You have to remember, a lot of the streets in St. Augustine, they have higher curbs than a normal city street to make the roads become waterways to get the water in and out as quickly as possible. And it's certainly working right now. Riberia is pretty flooded and Carrera is becoming a nice little creek.
Do you have power?
Yes, we have power. A lot of our neighbors do not have power, so it's hit and miss for the entire area.
Okay, and through the night, we were seeing and feeling and experiencing the teeth of the storm move north out of central Florida, and we're now moving really into the peak of this over the next several hours. But what was the night and kind of morning like in St. Augustine? Were you able to kind of hear things and hear the intensity build up at all?
Well, last night, my son asked, "Dad, is someone doing fireworks?" Because it sounded like, especially down here in July 4th and different holidays, you hear a lot of fireworks. The electrical poles were popping all over the city, and it really did sound like fireworks.
Unreal. And the water is at this point rising because we're now at high tide in St. Augustine. Do you know any folks who were in that flood zone? Did they get out? Did they evacuate and heed the call?
A lot of neighbors have boarded up and left. There's quite a few neighbors that have battened down the hatches with the sandbags and the higher level. So there's a lot of different streets that have different off the ground. So we're 10 and a half feet above sea level, and we have some neighbors just across the street that are under 5 feet.
Wow.
So you have to really know where you are in the city and what your elevation is.
Indeed. Cordova Street, and again, a not-so-smart neighbor, as Bob put it, with a jet ski out on Cordova Street, but it gives you an idea of just how high the water level is. Bob, stay safe. Keep the family safe. Keep the information coming. You're welcome anytime. We'd love to have you back in. I do want to get you out to the Duval County Emergency Operations Center in Jacksonville. We're getting an update now from Mayor Lenny Curry and other key leaders in Jacksonville at the Emergency Operations Center. Let's listen in now.
We're not out of the woods, and you should not let your guard down. Ian is still churning 80 miles southeast of Jacksonville, and the entire county remains under a tropical storm warning, while the coast of Duval County is still under hurricane watch. There are a lot of trees down throughout the county. Some have lost power. Unless you have to be on the roads, I would encourage you to stay home and stay safe until the storm passes.
All right, so you've been listening to the Emergency Operations Center update from Jacksonville. Some of the key takeaways: we expect to see flooding concerns, tidal flooding, and times of high tide flooding into the weekend along the St. Johns River. Also, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry, and actually I think it was Todd Smith with Emergency Management, saying there are 252 people using the 4 shelters that are available. They talked about how they are underutilized, but they are there and available to those who need. On the power outage and restoration effort, there was a peak, and I saw it, I want to say it was maybe 8, 9 o'clock or so this morning as we were wrapping up Jacksonville's morning news. It was about 22,000, 21,000, give or take, outages, and it is now down to, give or take, about 6,500 in Jacksonville, and a lot of restoration efforts that will continue. We've also been monitoring with a very interesting on an interesting note, the winds that have picked up in not just gusts, but also in wind speed. And as it pushes inland right now, wind speed sustained downtown is 23 miles an hour. And as I look right at NAS Jacksonville, which is the weather station that I can get. You went away from me. Let's go back to you. There you go. 38 mile an hour wind sustained. Now that's right on the runways at NAS Jacksonville. As I go just a little bit south of there, and nearing the Buckman Bridge, we have a sustained wind at 25 miles an hour. It's the strongest wind sustained that we have seen in Jacksonville since this morning. Remember, it's a 40 mile an hour sustained wind that would have Florida Highway Patrol or the Sheriff's Office determine that they need to close the bridges. But none in the Jacksonville area are closed at this moment. St. Augustine has had some closures where it has been out of an abundance of caution with the Bridge of Lions that was closed to more low profile vehicles. Now, as we continue to monitor the situation, you really shouldn't be on the roads. It's been the call from so many across law enforcement and emergency management. Brian Middleton in the First Alert Traffic Center, Safe Touch Security First Alert Traffic Center. Are we seeing much in the way of any delays around?
Just a few, believe it or not, as you leave downtown on the Arlington Expressway eastbound, actually. I am seeing some minor slowdowns as you cross over the Matthews Bridge. Know that the wind speed there has been clocked around 15 miles per hour. So right now, it's about 7 minutes to get from MLK Parkway out to Regency. And then also, you've already mentioned the Bridge of Lions and the closures that way. And then also, if you're trying to head over the Buckman Bridge, it's windy that way as well, around 24, 25 miles per hour heading into Orange Park or heading into Mandarin, depending on the direction of travel that you're going. All in all, unless you absolutely have to, stay off of the road because it's nasty out there right now with Jacksonville's most frequent traffic. I'm Brian Middleton.
Brian, thanks. And we'll continue to follow the impact of Ian as we have gone from tropical storm to eventually back to a hurricane now that the storm is over the open Atlantic and the warmer Atlantic waters. Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish was telling us it will strengthen back to a hurricane, Category 1, likely to make a third landfall near Charleston, South Carolina. Is that Robert? I think it's Robert Grant.
What's happening?
No, it's Ben Becker. So you can't even see them through the camera lens because it's so wet out there. Ben Becker is reporting from Jacksonville.
And any more developments, I'll get it back to you. Back to you in the studio.
All right, stay safe, Ben. Thanks so much. Let's go to Sam Manning. She's not too far away from Ben in St. Augustine, downtown St. Augustine. Sam, what are you seeing?
Yeah, Phil, so we are a little bit uptown here in St. Augustine because we wanted to get away from those floodwaters that were rushing in over by the bayfront. At one point, we were worried about getting trapped over there because it was surrounding us. So I want to show you, though, where we're standing here on San Marco Avenue. The floodwaters are reaching down here. We've been watching some vehicles have a hard time trying to get down the street. Larger vehicles, SUV types, doing a better job. Earlier, we actually saw one large SUV using a rope to pull another vehicle out of here because the floodwaters are several inches deep. In fact, where I'm standing here, my photographer, Jeff, if you could just pan around to show where I am, several inches high. You can see it's getting pretty deep. And this is just an area by the business. And we are several blocks away from the bayfront itself. So we've been watching the floodwaters come in. And a lot of these side streets out here too, Phil, they've been flooded. Many of them. We actually had a hard time trying to find a spot to safely pull over. So clearly we can see the impact coming into downtown St. Augustine and even uptown here as well. Phil?
All right, that's Samantha Manning with CBS 47, Fox 30, Action News Jax. By way of Washington, Samantha works for a Washington bureau. We hear from her during Jacksonville's morning news. And a colleague of ours who used to work in Jacksonville started her career at WFOX and WJAX-TV, Action News Jax. Went to our sister station in Orlando, WFTV. In fact, we should check in with our other friend, Christy Turner, who is still with WFTV. She's been reporting on the floodwaters, Lake Eola area. I'll see if maybe we can connect with her in just a few minutes. We have a lot to still cover for you in the hours ahead.
Hurricane Ian.
All right, so the center of the storm, center of circulation, is due east of around Daytona Beach, New Smyrna Beach at this time. And we continue to see the banding of rain across northeast Florida here. Rich Jones in the First Alert Storm Center. And we continue to follow the rain, which at this point is more of a lighter to moderate rain fall. But we do still have that flash flood warning that is in effect for St. Augustine and for Crescent Beach and Butler Beach. It's an isolated area, but an area of concern for us in the next several hours. We'll get to Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish in the First Alert Weather Center in a moment, but I want to head back to the Breaking News Center. Jeremy Ratliff has been following multiple storylines, what the story has been developing on social media, what that looks like, and also power outage and restoration efforts. Jeremy?
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk numbers first, Rich. Florida Power and Light is over 16,000 without power in St. Johns County. For a little bit of context, there are over 107,000 FP&L customers in that county, so 16,000 out of 107,000 without power. Now, going just south to Flagler County, to help paint a little bit of a picture here as far as where the outages are in our state, just going south one county, there are over 36,000 customers without power in Flagler. That is close to half of all FP&L customers in that area. So a lot of customers in Flagler without power, and still tens of thousands without power in St. Johns County. Now, JEA has over 6,900 customers affected by outages right now, stemming from about 84 active outages causing that, stemming out to 6,900 customers. That number is moving all over the place, kind of staying in the same area, though. They are spread out across Jacksonville. One of those scenarios where it's a bit hard to really focus on one. It includes some outages at the beaches. As you heard in the press conference, JEA has been able to respond to outages, though, for the moment due to wind. They don't have crews actively elevated, restoring power at the beaches right now for now. Checking Clay Electric, a little bit of a bump in the numbers there, over 3% of Clay Electric customers without power. Now, Rich, I asked folks on social media if they have power right now, getting a ton of response. Folks are sitting at home, definitely monitoring social media. Maryland tells me typical tropical storm rain, wind in Mandarin, Losco, power is on there. Ed tells me good to go with power in Bartram. Peter tells me power is on where he's at in East Arlington, though he says it has blipped on and off recently. Another person that reached out on Twitter says power was off from 8:30 to 10 last night and sometime between 5 and 10 this morning, but it's on now. If you're wondering, that person on Greenland Road near Phillips Highway. Doug tells me power is on in San Marco, and then he went ahead and sent me a photo. He said the river is creeping up to the bulkhead there in San Marco, and Tara says Sudden Lakes still has power. Debris around the yard. And just a reminder for folks just joining us right now, JEA's downtown customer center lobby at 21 West Church Street closed again today. That was closed yesterday as well. And a reminder, Clay Electric's offices are closed today. And Rich, we will continue to monitor these active power outages as we move forward.
And we're likely to see the outages here over the next several hours as winds are expected to stay up over the nighttime and likely into the overnight hours, as Mike Burrish said just a few minutes ago. Jeremy, thanks. We're going to check in Central Florida in just a couple of minutes with our friend and colleague, Christy Turner. First, let's head back to the breaking news center, Stephen Ponson, with a recap of some of the key takeaways that we heard from Jacksonville city leaders in the Duval County Emergency Operations Center about how we've been impacted so far by Ian and what's still to come.
Yeah, Rich, just a few moments ago, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry said that most of the issues that the county's seeing so far right now are just downed trees and power outages that Jeremy was just speaking about. And but he does say that the chance for Irma-type flooding along the St. Johns River, the chance for that to happen is lower today than it was yesterday, which is ultimately, moving forward, potentially good news. Now, just to rattle off some of the information that we got from Mayor Curry here just a few moments ago. All the beaches in Duval County are closed to the public. They will reopen whenever it is safe to do so. And there are four shelters open right now in Duval County. They're the Legend Center, Landmark Middle School, Atlantic Coast High School, and La Villa Middle. Now, the Legend Center is open for the general population and for special needs. Now, the unique thing about that with this latest update from Curry is he mentioned that if you live near Ken Knight Drive, that JTA is going to be taking you to and from the Legend Center. They're going to be having a stop set up that's going to be running until 2 p.m. this afternoon. And the address for that stop is 3991 Moncrief Road and Ken Knight Drive. The JTA is going to be taking people to and from until 2 to the Legend Center. Landmark Middle School, that's also a general population shelter, and it's pet-friendly. Atlantic Coast High School, special needs and pet-friendly as well. And also La Villa Middle School is specifically open for homeless individuals. So that's a quick recap of the shelters that are currently open in Duval County if you need to take advantage of those services. And JTA also spoke about chance for the normal routes to resume as expected tomorrow. That's kind of what they're planning on having tomorrow, is their normal routes resuming, and also paratransit will be resuming as well. Now, one quick mention here, garbage pickup. It's still unclear when normal pickup times will resume, but today and tomorrow, garbage pickup in the city of Jacksonville, Duval County, has been suspended, and we're going to continue to follow any sort of updates with Duval County here in the Breaking News Center.
Appreciate it, Stephen Ponson, and you'll carry us here into the rest of the afternoon and into the nighttime as well, as our coverage will continue. 56-mile-an-hour wind gusts most recently at Naval Station Mayport and still in St. Augustine. We see the winds really picking up in not only intensity but also coverage, as wind gusts are now exceeding 40 miles an hour all the way to I-95 as you're headed north and south. Hurricane Matthew-type storm surge and flooding happening now in the ancient city. It's an area that we're watching very, very closely. Our colleague and friend, formerly of WOKV and Action News, Jax, who covered Matthew and Irma and is now in Central Florida for WFTV Channel 9, is Christy Turner. And you were most recently, when we talked to you, Christy, at Lake Eola Park, and I just saw your live stream on WFTV.com talking to some people. Are they venturing out to see the flooding in the park? Is that who you were talking to?
Yes. So in today's day and age with social media, a lot of people are seeing the damage, all the flooding on social media. So they're wanting to come out and see it in person. Right now we have a little break in the rain and wind. Still some wind, but not as strong as earlier. So we have people coming out here to see this in person. And, you know, when people are walking up to Lake Eola, which is overflowed right now, people are just saying, wow. I mean, they can't believe what they are seeing. I talked to a guy who has lived here in downtown Orlando for 40 years and says he has never seen this type of flooding. This is unprecedented flooding that we are experiencing right now. There's different pockets of downtown Orlando underwater right now. We've seen active rescues going on, and not just here in Orange County, but also in Seminole County and Osceola County. So flooding is a major problem for us right now. So here at Lake Eola, the water has crept up at least half a football field length in some spots, maybe even longer. So people are out here right now just taking this in. There's people right now sitting in front of me on a bench with their feet in the water. I would not want to be doing that right now, but we still have a lot of roads shut down as this flooding continues. So pretty bad out here right now.
Have you, and I see Tom Terry, your chief meteorologist, on set right now, and I don't know if he's going to, he's showing the lightning strikes actually, but have you heard from the weather office how many inches of rain y'all got? Was this a combination of flooding, rain, and storm surge, or was it more storm surge and not as much rain?
You know, I'm not entirely sure about that, Rich. I'd have to double check to see our rainfall, but you know, we had those flash flood warnings all day for several hours from about like 3 a.m. till at least 11:30, and the water just kind of came out of nowhere and it has nowhere to go right now. So a lot of rainfall from this storm over a long period of time. It hasn't let up yet.
Yeah, it hasn't. And I do see the center of the storm now, as Tom is in the weather office, just off the coast of Merritt Island. And with winds now back up to 70 miles an hour, the storm is expected to re-strengthen and become a hurricane again before a third landfall just off the coast of South Carolina, Charleston area. I'm still seeing where you are, Krista, wind gusts as strong as 50, 55 miles an hour. That doesn't seem like they've let up all that much.
Yeah, you can't let your guard down out here. Times where the wind is, you know, very low, and then all of a sudden just starts whipping up again. So there are some strong wind gusts still happening.
All right, Christy Turner with, I almost keyed you in as CBS 47 and Fox 30 Action News Jax. I guess you'll always be wearing that badge of honor, right? And WOKV now with Channel 9, WFTV, another great Cox Media Group station in Florida. I tell you, we have had some great collaboration over the last several days preparing for Ian, as our company, Cox Media Group, has radio stations and TV stations in Orlando and in Jacksonville. And we have radio stations in Tampa. And I tell you, earlier in the week, the fear level was pretty high with the concern of a landfall in Tampa for the Tampa market specifically. And anyone who has friends and family in Tampa, yes, there's been a big impact there, but boy, they really dodged a major, major one with the storm staying to the south and making that jog to the east, making landfall ultimately near Fort Myers and Naples. And we also have radio stations in Miami, and they have had some flooding in greater Miami as well. In fact, I'm watching one of the Miami TV stations now, and they continue to monitor not only the flooding that they have had, but primarily in southwest Florida, Key West area, and over to Naples, Sanibel. I saw a tweet not long ago. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. It was about the amount. There it is. Approximately 50 to 65-foot section of the Sanibel Causeway Bridge has fallen into the Gulf of Mexico. How are you going to get emergency crews out to the folks who did not heed the advice and leave Sanibel? That's going to be a big concern. Just getting word that Flagler County is urging the evacuation of Zone C to leave immediately as a result of the rising water. We're now at high tide, and we do have a flash flood warning in effect for two locations. I'll just repeat the one that we've been bringing you for the last little while. Flash flood warning for southeastern St. Johns County until 3:15 this afternoon, as water has inundated mobile homes near Holmes Boulevard and State Road 207. It's a combination of the rainfall and the surge. Between 3 and 7 inches of rain has fallen, and another 2 to 4 inches is likely. And so the flash flood warning continues for the next few hours and for St. Augustine Beach, St. Augustine, and St. Augustine Shores. Now to Palm Coast and Flagler County. That's the site of the next flash flood warning, and that flash flood warning is in effect for northeastern Flagler County also until 3:15. And what we've seen is near Belterre Parkway, between 5 and 10 inches of rain have fallen, and additional rainfall amounts of about 2 to 4 inches are likely over the next several hours. So locations in the area of this flash flood warning, Palm Coast and Bunnell. And, you know, it may be something that you see on a tweet or an email every so often, and you overlook it. But when you see it now with the rising waters, the phrase "turn around, don't drown" when encountering flooded roads could be life-saving. So make sure that if you are out, and hopefully it's just law enforcement and first responders who are out, and those who are working at hospitals and medical facilities and other clinics around the Northeast Florida area, that's all who is out on the roads at this moment, because we do have standing water and rising water in many locations in Northeast Florida. We're at 12:42 as our coverage of now Tropical Storm Ian continues, soon to become a hurricane yet again as it continues to churn in the Atlantic Ocean, now off the coast of Merritt Island and slowly making its way north. We'll check in with First Alert Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish in just a few minutes on our forecast conditions over the next several hours as we move through the afternoon and into the evening hours, when winds may begin to subside and the rainfall will end, and how nice the weekend is looking. It's all ahead on 104.5 FM, WOKV News Time, 1243.
I'm actually walking through the Ripley's Believe It or Not parking lot area just to try to get to a safer spot. There are several inches of water around here, and a lot of these side streets here in St. Augustine, they're pretty flooded. Some cars we saw abandoned. At one point, we saw one truck or SUV pulling another vehicle with a rope to try and help that driver get out of there. But the floodwaters that are coming in from the water after it has breached the seawall over by the Bayfront area of St. Augustine, it is extending well into the city.
Hey, Sam, it's Gina Gondek. Earlier yesterday, you kind of did a live hit standing next to the Hurricane Matthew high watermark sign. Have you had a chance to see it and kind of where it stands right now?
So that sign is over at the Hilton on Avenida Menendez. And earlier when we were over by the Bayfront, that area was already flooded, so we actually couldn't even get to it. And it's because, again, the floodwaters had breached the seawall. But I am curious to see, you know, once this is all done, how far up the water does get, because we saw how flooded Avenida Menendez got this morning. Actually, at one point, we saw some folks in what looked like a raft. We weren't sure if they were first responders or you know, people trying to help rescue other people. Clearly, it was very, very flooded. Not sure how it compares, though, to that watermark from Hurricane Matthew.
So far, I've been seeing a lot of people saying that the water is higher than during Irma, but not as bad as Hurricane Matthew. Sam, I've seen videos of people out in kayaks and people just out in these floodwaters. When you were doing a live hit earlier, I saw people flying by in their vehicles through this water.
Yeah, some SUVs are able to make it, but I can tell you where I'm standing at this very moment, the water's up to my knees. Now, again, I'm not a very tall person, about 5'1", but I can tell you that still seems pretty deep, and it keeps getting higher out here.
As you were out on the beach as well, we were seeing the surf continuing to pick up, and we're seeing some of the images from the ocean in St. Augustine. As you've been hearing from folks who live out in that way, and then also, obviously, emergency officials, how concerned are they about the rip current risk and people venturing into the water?
Yeah, that's exactly what they don't want to see happen, right? I have seen some folks come out, you know, they're curious, taking some photos, but I've seen a lot less of that today compared to yesterday. And I think it's because it's clear how dangerous it is. A lot of people can't even get out there. I have seen some people walking around, but mainly on the side streets and kind of where they're living, although, you know, of course, there is an evacuation order, but some people not necessarily following that. But it is a big concern. Law enforcement is telling people not to do that, certainly not to go in the water.
All right, Samantha Manning with our Washington team now in St. Augustine, and we do have a flash flood warning in effect for southeastern St. Johns County until 3:15. That also includes, and Sam, I don't know if you heard it, but I want to alert you to it. I'm not sure if you have another crew in St. Johns, but mobile homes near Holmes Boulevard and State Road 207 are being inundated with water right now, and the surge is causing flash flooding in the area. So we're continuing to monitor that one, and Sam, will check in with you in a little while. Gina, we've been following some of the updates out of St. Augustine, and we heard from law enforcement and the Emergency Operations Center about the concern of the water rising and not just hitting high tide, but the hours that happen after that. It's not like the water is going to quickly recede. It slowly recedes.
Absolutely. I mean, we've posted some photos on our Instagram page, WOKV News, of the Plaza de la Constitución, which practically looks like a swimming pool right now, or it did as the water was kind of coming up towards that park, A1AL house. I mean, you could see it's a yellow building, so you could see it just peeking out from the waters there. And some careless people out there as well. We've seen the kayakers, we've seen the jet skiers, we've seen just, it's just best to stay where you're at. Believe me, social media has plenty of the photos, plenty of the videos. You'll be able to see them from our reporters that are at safe distances throughout this, but it's just important to stay out of the floodwaters right now, as it's going to take a while for them to really recede. And then on top of that, all the debris and everything that will be in the way.
Lucia Vitti is listening in as she hears from Nassau County officials and from Clay County officials. We'll have a chance to talk with John Ward in a little while on how Black Creek is looking and the rest of Clay County. We want to make sure we keep you covered. If you have any incidents to report, standing water, flooding, winds, trees down, we've heard from folks in Arlington and East Arlington via the open mic in the 104.5 WOKV app.